Welcome to Truth, Culture, Life. I am Royce Hood, and I am joined today by a very, very special guest, attorney Peter Breen, who is the executive vice president and head of litigation at Thomas More Society. Peter, how are you doing today?
I am doing great, living the dream. Royce, how are you, man?
Oh, man, doing so great. I mean, I've known you for a number of years. We go way back, which is excellent. So it's so nice to see you on the show, and thank you for taking the time to join us. Look, I know you are crazy busy right now. So much going on over at Thomas More Society. And for people that don't know, this is Thomas More Society in Chicago. And the firm is involved pretty much in every state with some form of litigation. So tell us, I mean, you've got some big pro-life stories going on right now, Peter. Can we talk a little bit about the Leiden, and then we'll go into SB 1909.
Right. And of course, we were founded over 25 years ago to really help the pro-life movement. And in particular, Joe Shidler, who had been sued in a nationwide class action by the National Organization for Women. They were trying to get an injunction to shut down the prayer and vigil presence and picketing of abortion facilities nationwide. And since that time, we've been able to serve a ton of people and really focused first on pro-life. But as the needs of our community and our country changed, you know, we added additional areas like family issues, you know, marriage issues and the like. And religious liberty became a very strong place where we've had to jump in because people's religious liberty rights have been so put upon in these last 2.5 decades. Things that, you know, Royce, you and I talked about, even just from when, you know, when we were in high school or college or law school, would have been unthinkable, are now becoming the norm today. And so we are involved in everything from transgender issues and in the public schools, transgender medical malpractice issues, crazy stuff, all of that to our core places, though, now in the wake of Dobbs. What do we do as a pro-life movement? We've got the states that are pro-life. We've got the states that are pro-abortion. We've got pro-abortion municipalities and counties inside pro-life states. We have pro-life municipalities and counties inside pro-abortion states. So trying to deal with all of that together is what's been taking up a lot of our time. I mean, we've been doing, I'm counseling, legislators in various states and municipalities about how to best protect life in their areas. So all of that, it has been quite something. Yeah, we've been incredibly busy. But as you pointed out, the big news recently is David DeLeiden. You know, the undercover journalist went undercover 30 months, really cut off connections with most of his friends and family to stay in character as a fetal tissue procurement executive. And so he went around and met with some of the top people at Planned Parenthood. He got meetings with them relatively easily. Was invited to their conferences, video and audio taped the whole thing, you know, all of these conversations, at least the ones that were in public areas. He always was in accord with the law, you know, was very careful about that. And when he started releasing his videos, it unleashed a firestorm against Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. You'll remember Planned Parenthood sells baby parts was a trending tag on Twitter for a very long time. And people still, you still remember it. Well, the abortion industry came back against him with a fury that they have never unleashed against any other human being that we've ever seen. We've had multiple civil lawsuits in California, Washington State, other parts of the country. We've had two criminal prosecutions attempted, one in Texas, which we got thrown out, and then one in California, which is still pending and is actually going to go to trial likely later this year. And it just with the full weight of the state governments of these, you know, pro-abortion states or pro-abortion areas within red states, they've come after us. And so what we've done now, there were two major, major lawsuits, one filed by the National Abortion Federation, another by Planned Parenthood itself, that were filed in San Francisco, in the federal district court there. And the one was looking for a gag order against David to stop him from publishing 500 hours of material he's got from abortion trade shows of the National Abortion Federation. Incredible video. The problem is, I can tell you it's incredible. I can't tell you what it is because I'm under a court order, under that same court order that gags David. I've seen this. You need to see it, but I can't give you anything about the content of it because of that gag order. The companion case, Planned Parenthood, was where they tarred David and really every undercover journalist as a racketeer and fraudster and all this. And they got $16 million judgment on the one end. On the other, they got the gag order and a $6 million fine there. So what we've done now, we knew from the beginning, San Francisco is probably the toughest jurisdiction in the country to be a pro-life defendant. So we knew we were going to have tough sledding. You're in the Ninth Circuit. So you're in a rough area in the first place. You're in the Ninth Circuit as well, which is the toughest circuit for folks like us. And so we knew we were probably going to have to go to the Supreme Court. And now we finally have, with an incredible petition, a tour de force of why the First Amendment, our fundamental rights, does not allow courts to say to a journalist, you can't publish. And that is, it's a core feature of our law. And if you've watched movies about, brave journalists publishing things that they weren't supposed to publish, you'll see there were court fights and the court said, whoa, 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 we are not stopping you from publishing. I mean, if you do something wrong down the road, people can go after you for damages if you don't do it the right way, but we do not stop you from publishing other than the most extreme cases. And so undercover journalists around the world, or around the country, at least, governed by our laws, are looking at this case going, wait, you're telling me that a court is actually now going to step in? We're going to change this principle, this really inviolate, unbreakable principle that we let you publish. And so that's really, we think it's a very compelling case for the Supreme Court. Even just the hearings the U.S. House had earlier this week on the FACE Act, Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, one of the congressmen related a part of these videos that are enjoined. There was a small clip that had come out. And so he actually, one of the witnesses, the abortion witness, was on that small clip and it said some very damaging things. And the congressman repeated it to her and said, you said this, didn't you? And she said, I kind of had to dissemble and all that. But so these videos are still relevant today. They are still in the news today. And you, the American public, can't see them, even though they're very important to you. And David should be able to publish them. So it's both David's right to publish them and your right to receive it. You've got a right. The First Amendment doesn't just say I can speak. It says you can receive. You've got a right to that so that you can make the decisions about self-governance that you have. How are we going to regulate abortion, et cetera. So sorry, Royce, I kind of grandstanded there, but that is what we've been up to.
Look, it's so important. And I'm sure people listening to this program remember David DeLayden. And if you don't know who David DeLayden is, just go to thomasmoresociety.org and right on the homepage is his picture. You'll probably recognize him. But then it says, just breaking news, Thomas More Society petitions U.S. Supreme Court to hear David DeLayden's case. Now, Peter, this isn't like the end all be all. I mean, he's got a ton of cases, right? So this is just a part of the onion, but this is a huge piece because as you pointed out, that gag, it's interesting. If this was, and I don't want to get political, but if this was, some other issue, the court, we don't see gag orders, right? If this was some investigative journalist into the wrongdoings of corporate America and it was some conservative thing, especially, I'm sure there would not be a gag order. But this is Planned Parenthood.
That is absolutely right. This case has shown you, the U.S. Supreme Court has recognized there is an abortion distortion that has messed up our First Amendment law. It's actually in the Dobbs decision, those are similar terms, that there is an abortion distortion. And we've argued, that's happening here. The problem is, you may say, it's only going to happen to David DeLayden. He's a pro-lifer. We don't care. Now, obviously, folks who listen to this show care. But, say animal rights activists or others or political, you're interested in political corruption, just anything. The problem is once you allow this decision to stand in the law, we build on precedent. So once this enters the bloodstream as a precedent, well, all of a sudden now the next undercover journalist say that goes after they go after big pharma or they go after big ag or whatever. Well, those lawyers, they have very expensive lawyers and we were up against the best lawyers in the country here. Those other lawyers are crafty and they are going to tie you up in court. And even if you win, you won't win without spending huge amounts of money. The defense of David DeLayden across all of these cases and continuing, we've got a criminal trial where he's facing years in San Quentin, 9 felony counts for alleged illegal undercover taping. you know, it's millions upon millions of dollars that we've had to expend. I mean, I you know, we exist to do this, but if you're just a regular Joe or Sally doing your undercover journalism, trying to make the world a better place, you have to hope there's a Thomas More Society in whatever your area, subject area is, ready to defend you in numerous lawsuits across the country, you know, state, you know, federal inquiries, you know, criminal, civil, all of it. So that's really the danger here. We have to win these cases in order to stop this horrible precedent from being established.
No, it's David versus Goliath, quite literally here with Third Deep. I think I read somewhere once they had a $20 million litigation budget. I don't know if that's true or not versus, you know, Thomas More Society, humble origins, supported by donors, an organization that I'm happy to be affiliated with and have supported for many, many years. So thank you, Peter, for the work that you all do. And it's just huge. So I would encourage our listeners to check out thomasmoresociety.org. You can read about David's case on there, and you can listen for updates as well. Let's switch into, just in the few minutes we have remaining, there's a lot going on here in Illinois. Yeah. And the Illinois politicians don't seem to care about precedent. In other words, if a law is deemed unconstitutional in California, we'll just pass it here and see what happens, right? We're talking about SB 1909. Wow. And so basically, my understanding, Peter, is that pregnancy centers would be required to refer to abortion.
And so this one, there was a, and you know, what happens in Illinois is actually important to a large swath of the country. Reason being, you've got folks setting up abortion facilities across the southeastern United States are moving up to places like Carbondale, Illinois. So southern Illinois towns. We've just sued Carbondale because their city council put a bubble zone in place. So we've sued them. They now have two abortion clinics. They've got a third one being built by Planned Parenthood. They didn't have an abortion clinic 6-8 months ago. And what's happening, and they are drawing people in for the entire southeastern United States. Every state around Illinois has a more restrictive abortion regulation regime. So folks are streaming into Illinois to get abortions. So what happens in Illinois really is very important. And for us as a pro-life movement nationally, even though I live in Illinois, I serve in the Illinois House, I love this, my home state, but as a national matter, it's very important that we have strong pregnancy help ministries to cover all of these abortion clinics that are opening up, because, you know, your women from Iowa are coming here. So they need to know there has to be effective sidewalk counseling. There has to be effective, abortion options counseling, you know, pregnancy options counseling at the local pregnancy centers. The legislature is now trying to say, under the Deceptive Business Practices Act, that our pregnancy help ministries are overstating the risks of abortion. And it's outrageous when you think about it. They actually said, well, you're telling people that abortion could cause infertility. You're telling people that abortion could have some link to cancer. And you're saying that you're refusing to tell people that childbirth is 14 times more deadly than abortion. Here's the thing. All these things that the General Assembly is declaring to be true are false. So obviously, abortion can cause infertility, especially if you have a botched abortion. Most of us know someone who had an abortion experience and then was unable to have children afterwards. Certainly, the abortion breast cancer link is something that, while some folks dispute it, there's hard evidence on it. And this business of abortion being safer than childbirth isn't borne out by the data. You know, if you have an abortion, you are more likely to be dead within the next year, 5 years, 10 years, than if you have a bring your pregnancy to term. And so, you know, it really is shocking. And I'll tell you, during the floor debate in the Illinois House, one of our fine representatives, a gentleman named Bill Howder, who's a medical doctor, also in the Republican caucus, he asked the question of the sponsor. He said, if we want to say that abortion is a sin, would that be a deceptive practice under your bill? The sponsor said, we'd take it on a case-by-case basis. Think about that. You can't even proclaim your own religious truth. And frankly, you know, we all know this to be true, but the other side might disagree. And so really, you're going to be at the whim of an attorney general that hates life, that hates pregnancy centers, desperately, you know, is bought and paid for by the abortion industry in trying to tell you what is true and what is false in the context of pregnancy help ministry. And here was the other thing, the bill, this change to law, it's going to be signed into law. The governor said he was going to sign it. It's going to be sent to him, I believe, at the end of the week. The law only applies to pregnancy help centers and ministries. And we actually, as we read the law, we think it applies to sidewalk counselors as well, which is outrageous. You know, they drew it so broadly. They drew it to not just cover facilities, including mobile facilities, so your mobile pregnancy centers that do pregnancy options counseling, but to organizations that do pregnancy options counseling. So that would cover sidewalk counselors in our view. And in committee, they used examples of sidewalk counseling they didn't like. You know, they didn't like the fact that sidewalk counselors might use reflective vests or have signage asking folks to stop and talk to them before they go into, you know, the killing centers. So it's the law should be declared. I mean, we think it's flagrantly unconstitutional. The problem is, under the First Amendment, you have an exception for, you know, regulating deceptive practices. You know, the government can do that. And we want the government to do that. You know, if you're trying to, you're selling me a 16 ounce Coca-Cola and I'm only getting 14 ounces, someone needs to be held to account. But this is a totally different situation and one where we are not selling abortions. You know, it's not like we're doing bad, you know, we're not selling them fake abortion pills. We don't want abortion at all. We don't want that market to even exist. And so it's a political statement and one that is totally protected by the First Amendment. But we are going to have to, we're going to have tough sledding because, you know, depending on the judges you pull in the federal courts, it can be difficult. It can be very difficult.
The issue that's going to get argued then, Peter, if I'm hearing you correctly, is whether or not what constitutes a deceptive practice for pregnancy centers, what constitutes a deceptive practice for sidewalk counselors. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Well, so we're going to, I'll say this, under the First Amendment, we shouldn't even have to get there.
Right.
Because you're targeting our group because of our viewpoint. So the law is just, it should just be flat thrown out. However, we do have the added benefit. We're actually telling the truth. You know, there was a case called it referred to the Stolen Valor Act a few years back called the Alvarez case. It's where a gentleman was, he was pretending he was a Medal of Honor winner, which is shameful. It's disgusting. And Congress had passed a law saying you can't do that. The Supreme Court actually struck down the law. Because they said, well, there's no money in it. You know, you've got no limit on what you're saying, you know, where this truth and falsity lies. So there's actually some protection under the First Amendment for knowing false speech, because the First Amendment is supposed to give us a little breathing room. You know, you might say, well, I mean, obviously none of us promote false speech, but you can still say, I don't want to promote it. I don't like it. But you can still say the government should not be able to go that far, because what they think is false is very different than what is actually false. And you're seeing that in Illinois writ large right now. And so that's, you know, that's part of our argument there too. But again, number one, they're hitting us because of our viewpoint, just because we won't bend the knee to abortion and emergency contraception. But then number two, we're not even lying. We're telling the truth. It's the General Assembly that's lying. So we do want that in the record, because that is helpful for our case as well. There's a whole, I mean, look, you know how it is. When you start drafting a lawsuit, you're going to go count one, count two, count, you know, and you start going, wait, you know, we actually can throw in a count four and a count five. But I mean, the main thing, it's First Amendment free speech. That's its core speech. We should be able to do this.
Well, we want to keep an eye on this, what happens. I mean, especially down in Carbondale, we should have you back when we have more time to talk about what's going on down in Carbondale, because we've talked about that on our show as well. Peter Breen with Thomas More Society, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. And we hope you come back to update us on Dalyden, SB 1909, Carbondale, and everything else you have going on.
Hey, man, it's great to be with you, Royce. Thanks so much.
All right, Peter. Thank you so much. Take care. And we'll go to a short commercial break. You're listening to Truth Culture Live, and we'll be right back.
Catholic Spirit Radio is hosting another outdoor rosary event, and you're invited. On Wednesday, May 31st, the Feast of the Visitation, we will gather in the north parking lot of 108 Boykins Place in Normal. Popcorn and treats, tours of the station, and fellowship begin at 7 p.m. The Joyful Mysteries at 7:30, plus after the rosary, an hour movie called Oceans of Mercy. Bring your family, friends, and lawn chairs on May 31st for an enjoyable evening of the rosary, a movie, treats, and a special drawing.
Help seniors remain independent. Faith in Action is a nonprofit providing transportation for people over 60 to medical appointments and grocery stores. Become a Faith in Action driver in the extended Bloomington Normal area, 309-827-7780.
Here's some of our listeners' favorite programs on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Mother Angelica.
I enjoy listening to Al Cresta.
I listen to Women of Grace, Call of Communion, Catholic Answers.
Praying the Rosary and the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
The Sunrise Morning Show.
I like the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
I enjoy the program Catholic Answers Live.
I like Being Catholic with Bob and Lynn Johnston the best.
Bob, you can't do that. You're the host.
Yeah, but that's why I like it, because I always agree with Bob.
Of course.
All right. Then I like Word on Fire, The Journey Home, and EWTN Open Line.
And I like Take Two.
Help to continue the excellent programming on this station by donating online at CatholicSpiritRadio.com or sending a donation to 108 Boykins Place in Normal. This radio station is supported solely by the generosity of its listeners.
Got an old vehicle taking up space in your garage or rusting outside? Catholic Spirit Radio would love to have it. Turn your worn-out vehicle into a donation. Simply call 866-628-CARS or go to CatholicSpiritRadio.com to click on the Donate Your Vehicle link.
Hi, this is Kathy and Ann from Catholic Spirit Radio. We are looking for folks who would love to volunteer with us during our fundraisers and various other station events and tasks throughout the year.
We really need volunteers in the DeKalb, Sycamore, Morris, Joliet, and Lincoln areas, as well as Bloomington Normal.
If you have a few extra hours or more a month, put them to use for the Lord.
We would love to add your name to our Catholic Spirit Radio volunteer list. Contact us at office@CatholicSpiritRadio.org.
Am I pregnant? This is often the first question a woman needs answered when she comes to the Pregnancy Resource Center. What now is the second question. Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center is committed to providing excellent care, compassionate support, and honest information to those facing pregnancy decisions through authentic relationships that display grace, honor life, and foster community. Living Alternatives needs your help to encourage and support women in Bloomington Normal. Make your donation or find out more ways to get involved at PregnancyResourceCenter.org.
Welcome back to Truth, Culture, Life. I am Royce Good, and we're filling up here. It's pretty awesome. We've got Sierra Heitkamp joining us from North Dakota. Sierra, are you actually back in North Dakota?
Yes, I got back yesterday. I drove 1,600 miles in 2 days. So wow. I got home last night, and I'm back home.
Very good. Well, we're excited to have you with us, and safe travels, and glad that you were able to get back safely. We're also joined by a very, very special guest. Dr. Alex, I'm going to get your name wrong again. Lessard. I got to spell it differently, because the way I'm spelling it, the way my handwriting is terrible. I apologize.
No problem.
I'm just going to call you Dr. Alex.
Okay.
Does that work?
Okay. That's fine.
All right. Yeah. So we actually had a funny, we were talking earlier today, I was going to record you earlier. We weren't actually recording, so we just had a great conversation off the record, but it's amazing. And you are involved with Catholic education. You are doing some amazing things to your organization. Tell us a little bit about what you have coming up so that we can tell our listeners and share the work that you're involved with.
Yes. Well, thanks so much for having me on. My wife and I started a nonprofit called Adeodatus, which is the name of St. Augustine's son. It literally means gift of God or given by God, which is the way, even though Adeodatus was an illegitimate child, we accept life. And Augustine was a great example of that. We are putting on a 4-day conference from June 21st through the 24th in Pasadena, which will cover the major figures of the Catholic educational tradition and of its renewal in the last 50 to 60 years. We will start with the heart of Catholic education, which is Jesus the teacher and the Holy Spirit, our advocate. Mikhail Waldstein will speak on that. And we'll go through all of the great figures of the tradition. We'll go through the Homer, Virgil, Plato, Aristotle, St. Augustine, education in the Bible, education in the history of the Catholic Church, Augustine, Benedict, Dominic, Ignatius, etc., all the way up through the renewers of Catholic education, including Chesterton, John Sr., Christopher Dawson, Don Briel, who was my mentor and started the Catholic Studies movement at St. Thomas in St. Paul, as well as at UMary in Bismarck, North Dakota. And finally end with Pater Edmund Waldstein speaking on the Berquist brothers, one of whom was a teacher of mine at St. Thomas, Dick, and Mark Berquist and Ron MacArthur were the were two of the founders of Thomas Aquinas College. Wow. So we've got the great figures of the tradition and its renewal, and we have a phenomenal lineup of speakers to speak to the practical importance of each of those figures for Catholic teachers today.
The first Adeodatus conference will be in California, right? June 21st and through the 24th. Wow. I mean, okay, look, not everybody just wakes up one morning and decides to host a conference, right? I mean, what was the process? What was the motivation behind you deciding to do this?
Yeah, there was a specific catalyst. My wife and I did help start a Catholic school 22 years ago in Pasadena. It's called St. Monica Academy. It's a sister school to St. Augustine Academy, which was the origin of the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education program, as well as the Catholic textbook program. So we have these ties to the beginning of the independent Catholic school movement here in Southern California. But in 2018, in a 40-day period, my mentor, Don Briel, as well as my doctoral director, Father Matt Lamb, who was at Boston College when I studied with him, but then later founded the graduate program in theology at Ave Maria, and a third friend, the financial donor for St. Augustine's and St. Monica's, they all died in that 40-day period. And I felt that, it was a tremendous blow. They were such great contributors to this renewal, to the love of Catholic education and its renewal in a modern America, that I felt we had to do something to carry on their work. And so over the next 3 or 4 years, I tried to find the right way to do that. And what became clear over time, this mission of supporting the renewal of Catholic education became clearer and clearer. And I started asking friends and colleagues to come and speak to these major figures. And it started to come together, and it really has just been providential that everybody, you know, this lineup is a tremendous. My work is like St. John Henry Newman wanted to be a bond of connection between people. And that's what I have been trying to do, bring the best and holy. Really, these are all practicing Catholics with, Andrew Kern is American Orthodox, so we'll say that. I have a wonderful speaker on epic literature from the Orthodox tradition. But we're all in this vineyard of the Lord, which is the formation and perfection of students within their families and in Catholic school settings. So that's how it works.
Yeah. So look, I mean, this is awesome. Obviously, this looks like an amazing conference, particularly for people. Well, is this open to anybody to come attend, or is this primarily geared towards educators?
It is open to everyone, really just all friends of Catholic education. We are discounting. We are trying to make it as affordable as possible for educators. So we are giving a full 50% off the conference registration fee for any educator, and then also our friend, you know, anyone who's not an educator, there's also a very nice discount.
So for 35%. Let me just do this for the benefit of our listeners. The the website is adeodatus.com, and that's adeodatus.com. And if you feel like you missed that or you're not sure, just check us out on Facebook. Look for Truth Culture Life Pod at Facebook, and we'll post a link when we post this story on there. CatholicSpiritRadio.com, when we do the description for the show, we'll make sure there's a link there as well. And this is great. So obviously, look, education in this country is critical. I mean, it's critical worldwide. I mean, for purposes of the soul, obviously, formation of the human person and all that. But as a political society, we need an informed electorate. And you and I were talking about that earlier. And Sierra is involved in politics in North Dakota. And they're actually, you mentioned earlier, I mean, they've got St. Mary's right in North Dakota, which is great. So I guess I'm a huge fan. Obviously, Catholic education is so important for so many reasons. I mean, I love some of these topics that are on here that you're going to be talking about. You know, Jesus, the teacher, and the Holy Spirit advocate. You've got all these different names of speakers and some of the things they're going to be talking about. Just wow. Yeah. And Sierra, you've been involved with both of you. I mean, is there a connection between this and St. Mary's in North Dakota?
Well, there is, because Don Briel went from St. Thomas up to St. Mary's in his last few years. Monsignor Shea brought him up to found the Catholic Studies movement there. To found the program at St. Mary's. And he was the Cardinal Newman professor at St. Mary's until his death in 2018. So there is a great connection there, and Monsignor Shea is a wonderful leader of this renewal movement.
Yes, we, and especially with the work that I do, we work with the University of Mary quite a bit. Monsignor Shea is just amazing. And we were actually talking before we started recording, and I didn't realize that you had grown up in Minnesota. So we had some connection there too. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time in North Dakota with my cousin farmers when I was a kid.
This is just amazing work. I mean, in North Dakota, we have in the last few years, especially with COVID, but definitely the last decade, private Catholic schooling has really taken off. And I think with the University of Mary, they're doing such wonderful work. And we've looked into so many different ways to support them as we can at the state level with legislation. Yeah. One thing we tried to actually do this year, so at the University of Mary, they have gotten the funding to do a maternity home. So they're building a maternity home for students who are pregnant or have given birth. They get full tuition, daycare, any assistance they need. So we actually tried to get some funding from to try to put a pilot program together to do that for our public institutions. But working with the University of Mary is just amazing. And we need more schools like that for sure.
Yes. And they're coming. There are a lot of great things happening from the elementary level to the college and graduate school level.
You've got, Dr. Alex, you've got some amazing sponsors on here. I mean, just going through the list, obviously you mentioned earlier, the Cardinal Newman Society, Thomas Aquinas College, of course, Sophia Institute Press is why you're on this program today, because of our connections there. And then some of these other things too, like, you know, Catholic Gigs. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds amazing. So as soon as we're off this show, I'm going to look it up. I wanted to ask you this, micro schools. Are you seeing, I mean, obviously there's the Chesterton Academies, which are in essence sort of a micro school, right? I mean, it's an institution, you know, they serve their communities, but I'm starting to see a lot of micro schools where homeschool communities are sort of coming together and they're bringing on, particularly in the instances where they need like a special ed specialist or something like that. Well, the families will come together, they'll hire a teacher, and they've got like, it's not official, it's not a corporation, but they basically have their own little micro school. Are you seeing anything like that in the education realm?
Yes, they're both both the hybrid movement, which is homeschool and then 2 to 3 days a week in a classroom setting, as well as the micro school. It's emerging in conjunction with the charter school movement, and I think. Just going forward, the Macon case last year at the Supreme Court finally struck down the Blaine Amendment laws that California has a Blaine-type discriminatory law against funding private education that's sectarian in its constitution. Well, that's at some point that's all got to go away and free parents to find the best solutions for their kids. Wherever they are and whatever community they're in. And the micro school, the hybrid, the charter, the independent, the parochial, those are all going to be great options available to people in a freer way, which can only benefit both families and society, as you were saying earlier.
Well, this is great. I would encourage all of our listeners, again, you're listening to Truth Culture Life, and we are speaking with Dr. Alex Lessard. Did I get it right that time, Lessard?
I put an accent over the A, Lessard.
Lessard. I don't know what's on me. That's all
right. That's all right.
Yeah, it's because I'm from Florida. And
yeah, if you were from the Midwest, you'd get the French, pronunciation,
that
right?
That makes perfect sense. But Dr. Alex, this is huge. And I just love this. First of all, the name is amazing. I knew nothing about St. Augustine's son, Adeodatus. I just did not. And so this is somebody that I want to read about. And I would just, again, encourage our listeners to check out adeodatus.com. We'll post the link on our Facebook page. And for those listening, adeodatus.com. And by the way, if you can't get to California for this conference, doctor, it's apparently people can stream it. They can watch it online.
Yes, we have streaming options both for individuals and for whole schools. And a number of schools have signed up already. And we are also talking to superintendents about diocesan-wide access. Denver, I'm talking with Elias Moo in Denver about having every parochial school have access to these videos and streaming forever.
Would this be that'd be cool. So as like a resource, would this be something the students would want to watch, or would it be more the educators to learn from?
It's interesting. We are seeing students show up. It's very interesting. I've had like a 14-year-old reached out to me, and she's going to come with her mom and a college student. There's a college student from Princeton and Oxford who's bringing his father. So he and his father are coming. It's wide open. Any friend of education, anyone who loves this, rich tradition and wants to know more about it and how to bring it to their kids and their schools and their communities. This will be a wonderful thing. Archbishop Gomez will come and say one of our masses. Bishop Fryer from Orange County will say our closing mass. We'll have the Los Angeles premiere of Frank LaRocca's Mass of the Americas, which will be absolutely beautiful. So we will have great liturgy at a beautiful church every day. We'll have these great speakers and plenty of time for rest and relaxation in a beautiful city.
Thank you so much for your time today and for joining Truth Culture Life. And we will encourage our listeners to follow you and to attend if they're able.
Thank you very much. It was great to meet both of you.
Awesome. All right. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Truth Culture Life. Thank you so much for listening to Truth Culture Life. We want to give a special shout out to Catholic Spirit Radio. Please be sure to visit them on the web at catholicspiritradio.com and download the app. You can hear this program and other great programming anywhere in the country, no matter where you are. So thank you so much for listening. And I'm Royce Hood. We'll be right back.
Catholic Spirit Radio is hosting another outdoor rosary event, and you're invited. On Wednesday, May 31st, the Feast of the Visitation, we will gather in the north parking lot of 108 Boykins Place in Normal. Popcorn and treats, tours of the station, and fellowship begin at 7 p.m. The Joyful Mysteries at 7:30, plus after the rosary, an hour movie called Oceans of Mercy. Bring your family, friends, and lawn chairs on May 31st for an enjoyable evening of the rosary, a movie, treats, and a special drawing.
Help seniors remain independent. Faith in Action is a nonprofit providing transportation for people over 60 to medical appointments and grocery stores. Become a Faith in Action driver in the extended Bloomington Normal area, 309-827-7780.
Got an old vehicle taking up space in your garage or rusting outside? Catholic Spirit Radio would love to have it. Turn your worn-out vehicle into a donation. Simply call 866-628-CARS or go to catholicspiritradio.com to click on the Donate Your Vehicle link.
Hi, this is Kathy
and Ann
from Catholic Spirit Radio. We are looking for folks who would love to volunteer with us during our fundraisers and various other station events and tasks throughout the year.
We really need volunteers in the DeKalb, Sycamore, Morris, Joliet, and Lincoln areas
areas, as well as Bloomington Normal.
If you have a few extra hours or more a month, put them to use for the Lord.
We would love to add your name to our Catholic Spirit Radio volunteer list. Contact us at office@catholicspiritradio.org.
Am I pregnant? This is often the first question a woman needs answered when she comes to the Pregnancy Resource Center. What now is the second question. Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center is committed to providing excellent care, compassionate support, and honest information to those facing pregnancy decisions through authentic relationships that display grace, honor life, and foster community. Living Alternatives needs your help to encourage and support women in Bloomington Normal. Make your donation or find out more ways to get involved at pregnancyresourcecenter.org.
Welcome back to Truth, Culture, Life. Okay, so we actually recorded this segment separately, and here it is. This is Father Michael Orsi joining us from Naples, and we've got a very special guest, Anton, from 7 Weeks Coffee. Check it out. We do have a very special guest. We have Anton Kresik. Did I say that right?
Yes. Thanks for having me.
Anton, I have to tell you, you look way younger than I thought you were going to look. So welcome. And Anton is the founder of 7 Weeks Coffee, which is a pro-life coffee company. And Anton, yes. I don't want to hear anything about the coffee company just yet. What all of our listeners are curious about is, where are you, and give us a weather update where you are.
Yeah, so I'm in Northern Virginia, so it's pretty nice here. Good weather. It's funny, I'm from Cleveland originally, Ohio. Similar, 20 nice days a year, few and far between. So it's a lot warmer here in the Northern Virginia area, right outside the nation's capital.
Wow. Now, how is that? Is that like super, is it super busy there? A lot of traffic and stuff, or is it pretty?
Yeah, we're like 35 minutes outside north towards Leesburg. So it's a little more suburb feel, which is nice. But if you get anywhere close to the city, be prepared to sit in traffic.
Nope. I can't do it. Father gets enough traffic down in Naples, Florida as it is, but yeah.
Yeah, there's so much people moving down here now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but Father's got this crazy ability where he just kind of puts his hands up and parts like Moses, and the traffic just gets out of his way.
Yeah, and then the insurance companies that get sued for all the accidents, you know, they're after me.
Oh, man. All right, so, okay, we do want to find out all about 7 Weeks Coffee. Tell us about, is this a pro-life coffee company? Do I have that right?
You're correct. Yeah. 7 Weeks Coffee. We're a pro-life coffee company with a simple mission, have a tangible impact supporting life-saving services at pregnancy care centers. And we do that by donating 10% of every sale. So when someone buys coffee through us, a center in need is directly supported. So drink coffee and save lives is our motto.
Well, wow. Anton, I got a question for you, Anton. What came first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, like, you were pro-life, and then you said, how can I make money, and I'm going to sell coffee? Or you started selling coffee and said, well, you know, we could give a donation to pro-life.
It really just started. I've always been pro-life to find ways to give back to our local center. This wasn't started as like a full-time job. It was a side project. It'd be like, cool, what if we could sell coffee and raise money for our local pregnancy center? So we sold $8,000 the first month and dropped off a check for $800 and just thought it was the coolest thing. And, it really grew from there, and now we're supporting over 500 different pregnancy centers. We've raised over $100,000, so it really has kind of turned into something here where, you know, tens of thousands of people want to drink coffee and get involved in the pro-life movement through coffee.
Well, how did you get involved with coffee? I mean, you know, why coffee?
I've always loved coffee, but I don't have like a necessary background in it. But what I saw was, I've always been like very entrepreneurial. Coffee is a great way to have a story and tell about a certain mission and kind of advocate for values. You kind of see this within the coffee industry. So I was like, wouldn't it be cool to, you know, just talk more about the pro-life issues with coffee? So I was like, there's got to be a pro-life coffee company out there because there's so many other ones around, you know, different issues. And I Googled pro-life coffee one day and really nothing came up. And it was truly a light bulb moment. I'll say it's, you know, divinely inspired. And I remember calling my wife and like, hey, I got this crazy idea. I want to start a pro-life coffee company. What do you think? You know, and this is 2 weeks after we'd been married. So she's probably like, you know, maybe we should just get settled into married life here, not start a company. But luckily, she was really supportive. And, you know, the idea and the name was born right after that. She actually, I give credit to my wife. She helped me come up with the name.
Oh, where'd you get the coffee?
So ended up working with just a coffee supplier I met through a mutual friend, and they're an amazing coffee roastery, and they do an amazing job, provide a very quality product. And yeah, so that's where we get our coffee. So now we ship across the nation.
Wow. And where do they get their coffee? They get from Colombia. I mean, I don't know. Alexa
Hente comes from all over. You can get it from all over the world. Right now, our coffee is Ethiopian, so we get all our coffee from Ethiopia, which is, fun fact, is the home of coffee. So a lot of people think like Colombia, Brazil, those are very common places, but Ethiopia is the home of coffee. Coming this July, we'll have coffee from a lot of different other origins as well. So we'll have a lot more options.
Are you going to send Robin Hood like some samples, and he's going to send me some, and we could drink it on the air?
Absolutely. I'd love to get you guys some.
Yeah.
We'll see what we can do.
Father Orsi always typically has a cup of coffee. Do you have a cup of coffee there on your desk, Father? You usually do.
I do.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. So we need to do that. Listen, I have your next product suggestion is you need some mugs if you don't already have them.
We have some tumblers, but yeah, we do have a few of those, but I think expanding in different some mugs, and we just launched apparel actually. That's been pretty popular. Just kind of like the apparel side.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I see you've
apparel.
Got
apparel. You got like you sell clothes too?
Yeah, people want to buy things with our branding on it. So we sell some clothes, some pro life merchandise.
Pro life coffee, and we have like shirts and pants. Yeah. What do you have?
Yeah, t-shirts, hoodies, long sleeves, some tote bags, hats, you know, kind of with our branding on it. Pro coffee, pro life is our kind of slogan. So
I love
it. I'm going to share a picture of you. So for those that are watching, there we go. There's the t-shirt. And 7 weeks coffee, and there's the two different packages of coffee from Ethiopia. And so you actually, what Father was asking earlier is about your source, you know, where do you source it from? And currently it's Ethiopia, but you're going to be branching into some other places. So will all the packages say where it's from?
Yeah. So right now it's Ethiopian only. We have different types of Ethiopian coffee, which is awesome. So they do taste differently. But coming this July, we'll have tons of other options as well. So it'll be super cool to launch those products.
So do you have instant coffee too?
We do not, no.
It's not really
good for you in terms of quality. So we want to serve, you know, we're trying to match this missional excellence with quality excellence.
I'm not too good even working coffee pots.
You know, I've got an espresso. Father, you know, look, Father always, like I said, he always has a cup of coffee. So we're going to take care. We're going to make sure you get some of this coffee, Father, because then Father will give us the review and I'm sure it'll be, you know, here's another idea. If you need t-shirt ideas, you should do a priest like Father O, like you could do like an outline of him with a cup of coffee. That would be super cool.
That would be cool. Yeah.
The anti-Starbucks coffee.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's basically what we're at. Yeah.
They are just the opposite of you. Like they're big time, you know, pro-abortion, big time liberal causes, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you just gave me such a good idea.
Yeah. We need to
get this coffee into like Catholic and pro-life university cafeterias.
Are there any left?
Yeah.
Are there any Catholic universities left? I mean, I don't know.
Well, there's
you heard about Georgetown. They're building a mosque there.
I mean, come on. Georgetown hasn't been authentically Catholic for a while, right? I mean, even Harvard started off as a Catholic university.
No, it wasn't Catholic. It was Protestant.
Was it Protestant? I thought it was Catholic.
No, I think it was Calvinist. Started off as the Puritan deal up there, you know.
Okay, all right. So we'll let that one go.
Calvinist, yeah.
And we got Notre Dame to all of our – there's a lot of Notre Dame fans here in Illinois. And
are they still Catholic?
I don't know. I don't know if they're Catholic or not. I hear mixed review.
I mean, they keep inviting these people, you know, pro abortion to speak over there. I mean, they never invited me. Let's put it that way.
Father, you're too Catholic. If there's like a temperature gauge, Father's like red hot Catholic. Yeah, maybe they're more lukewarm. I don't know. All right. So listen, you started to tell us your wife, and what's your wife's name?
My wife's name is Krista. Yep.
Hey, Krista, if you're listening, your husband's super cool. We're super excited he's on. And Krista helped you come up with the name 7 Weeks Coffee?
Yeah. So she's a nurse and she's kind of got this healthcare background and was like, you know, sometimes pregnant, you know, mothers will say my little bean. She's like, when is a baby the size of a coffee bean? So I looked it up. At 7 weeks, a baby is the size of a coffee bean. And it's the same time a heartbeat's detectable under ultrasound. And our mission is to support ultrasound services at pregnancy care centers. So that's how we got the name 7 Weeks Coffee. It's kind of like this cool mnemonic device where we can, you know, kind of advocate for the issues within our name. And people always ask, you know, what's the meaning behind your name? And yeah, that's the reason. So at 7 weeks, a baby is the size of a coffee bean.
I mean, I love that. Go ahead, Father.
Yeah, no, I just, I'm surprised at, the enthusiasm here and your theological acumen. Did you go to Christendom College?
I did not, no.
Where'd you go?
I went to Cleveland State, so I went to just a that? Regular public school.
There are surprises every day. You know, you had that nice Christendom sound to you over there, and that's good for you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, this is great. Honestly, this is great. So, like I mentioned to you before, Father has his TV show. We also do an event together called the Law of Life Summit down in Naples, Florida.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah, we just did our first annual. We're going to do our second annual next March. We were talking about that before you came on. It's going to be a 3-day event, and we're going to need coffee. So maybe we get you down there, and there's going to be exhibit booths and stuff. Maybe we do
I would love to.
I mean, this is going to be big. I mean, it's going to be big. So you better put it on your calendar.
Your wife won't say no. It's Naples, Florida in the middle of March.
I think I can make that better. Work.
Yeah. To convince the wife on one like that. And so it should work. Yeah. And plus you get to meet Father Worsey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so all right, so listen to this. How can people, I want to know, and I'm sure listeners are curious, Anton, how can people order your coffee? Where can they buy it?
Yeah, so it's all on our website, 7weekscoffee.com. You can order right there. We'll ship directly to your house. We ship anywhere in the U.S. Tons of great options. And all we like to say is, will you let your coffee serve a greater purpose? If you drink coffee, consider using us, and you'll help support a pregnancy care center in need. So
I love it. And that's spelled out, by the way, 7, S-E-V-E-N, 7 weeks.
Anton, how many people do you have? Is it just like you and your wife doing this, or you have like a little factory? How do you do this now?
It's started just, on our own. Right now we have some part-time people helping us out, but luckily we work with a roaster who does all the fulfillment for us. So it's our coffee. They do all the shipping and logistics. So that's kind of like the big lift is that part of it. So luckily,
so we like you say, you don't have like sacks of coffee beans in your garage or anything.
No,
like that.
I would not want that. We sell a lot of coffee now that luckily our roasting partners, have a big warehouse to store all that.
I love it. Yeah, it's great. It really is.
Hey, Robin Hood, wouldn't it be great if he comes down to the summit, right?
Yeah.
And we have his coffee there. Wow. Everybody drinking his coffee.
We got to do it. And also at Catholic Spirit Radio, which is based out of Bloomington, Normal, Illinois, and they broadcast. That's what the show is syndicated on right now. It airs this show, Truth, Culture, Life, airs throughout Northern and Central Illinois. They've got a great, the whole building is like 4 or 5 different radio stations, and they've got coffee machines in there. I think there's a lot of expense in bricks and mortar, right? But I mean, it'd be super cool to like even source your own little coffee maker, 7 weeks coffee, right? And do like a package and, get that branding out there everywhere that you possibly can. Anton, I think what you're doing is super cool. Obviously, every pregnancy center in the country sells coffee or at least provides coffee. Probably they have little coffee machines, I would guess, either for their employees or for people coming in. Why not make it 7 weeks coffee and tell that story? The other thing that I want to suggest that you do, and this is some free advice if you want to take it, but look at your logo, do a variation of it. 7 weeks coffee. You've got the words. What if you had like a little coffee bean behind it that also has like, if you look at it closely enough, it almost looks like a little baby.
Yeah, maybe it could be a retro design. I'm pretty maybe down the road we'll look into that.
Yeah, you're gonna have a fan club. People will be coming up all kinds of ideas for you. So this is super cool, Anton. We're so glad that you could join Truth Culture Life today, Father. Anything else for Anton?
Anton. I'm looking forward to meeting you and to tasting your coffee. So we'll count on seeing you at the summit in Naples, Florida, next March. Folks, this is going to be huge.
And we will. We're going to announce the dates for the second annual Naples Pro-Life Summit within the next couple of weeks. Like before the end of May, we will be announcing those dates so people can start making plans, because it's going to be, we did the first one. It was a huge success, and we're super excited about the second one. It's a retreat. It's a leadership retreat for advocates, for leaders, for pro-life. Anybody that's pro-life that wants to come down and have some fellowship, learn, and do some good, that's what we're going to be doing. It's amazing. So we'll talk more about that next time. And Anton, I do have one other question for you. You mentioned before you guys have already given away $100,000 to pregnancy centers. How many units of coffee have you guys sold? Do you know that number?
Yeah, I mean, it's well over 50,000, maybe 60,000 at least. Yeah.
And what period of time? When did you start this thing?
Started it in November of 21, so we're about a year and a half old. So okay. Really, last year is our first full year, so we're just in starting year two here.
Wow. Wow. I love it. It's amazing. 50,000 bags of coffee. That's
yeah. anti-Starbucks.
Yeah. Yeah. People want yeah. options. I mean, I think that's yeah. what draws people to us. There's little options out there for people who want to shop their values. Like people are sick of giving their money to organizations that, you know, directly oppose what they believe in. So we're not doing that. We're going to stand for something.
I love it. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant business. And I'm all for it. I think it's great. And it reminds me very much of, it's like the Christian version of Tom's Shoes. And for people that don't realize, it's called a social enterprise. This is what we're talking about. A lot of nonprofits in the pro-life world are nonprofit, right? They sell t-shirts, they do pregnancy centers, whatever it is. By doing a for-profit business, you have less regulations that you have to deal with on the donor side. And it allows you to build and brand and do things that you can't do in the nonprofit world. And then what a social enterprise does is you give a portion back. So you're supporting a social purpose, a social mission. And that's what you're doing here. And it's just amazing. So good job. Congratulations on it. And I think that's all the time we have for this segment. But Father, I'll give you the closing
word. Closing word is I'm very impressed with what you're doing. It shows what enthusiasm and brains and the Holy Spirit can do working together. And it's even helping the people in Ethiopia, and they need help. So keep up your good work.
All right, thank you. Amen.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon, Anton, and we're going to get some coffee ordered for Father O.
You've been listening to Wonderful Culture Life on Catholic Spirit Radio. Please be sure to visit Catholic Spirit Radio at catholicspiritradio.com. Last, I would really, really love to hear from you. Do you like the show? Do you like the hosts? Do you like the guests? It's okay if you don't like me. Just let me know. I take criticism pretty well. The best way to get in touch with me would be on Facebook. Look for the show at Truth Culture Life POD. If you go to Facebook.com, just search for Truth Culture Life POD. You can also search for me, Royce Hood. Feel free to DM me, reach out, comment. I love it. I want to hear from you. We'd love feedback. Do you have any questions for Father Orsi? Are there any guests that you would love to hear from? Any topics that you would like us to discuss? Truth, Culture, Life is simply that. It is about truth, culture, and life, all from the Catholic perspective. And I'm so excited to be able to bring this program to you every single week on Catholic Spirit Radio. Also, moving forward, we are going to be posting video segments from the interviews at YouTube. Go to youtube.com/Royce Hood. Thanks again for listening. God bless.